stay standing with me as I read God's word, and we jump into week two of Playing Hurt. How many of you guys enjoyed last week, man? That was such a good time. I was grateful for the word of the Lord, and man, just want to give you a big shout out. Last week was our highest attended non-Easter week of the year, and man, we had 11 people commit their life to Jesus, and I don't even know the number off the top of my head, but we had multiple people take their faith public in water baptism, and so it was a special day, and so I'm so excited. Today we have child dedication, and next week after our following our 11:30 service, we have something called open house, and we've really seen so many new people come through our church that we wanted to take some time that we just call open house, where basically we're providing lunch for anybody who's new with us over the past few weeks. We're going to provide lunch, and it's just a time for us to share our heart of who we are as Victory City Church and allow you to ask questions. And you can sign up for that by texting the number 94,000 and using the keyword Victory City. And you can sign up digitally, or you can sign up physically at our Next Steps area. So I hope you'll do that. If you're new with us over the past few weeks, we'd love to get to know you a little bit more. Well, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I've only got a few verses here, so I'm going to save your knees. So 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 through 11, it says this: "For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessings granted us through the prayers of many." I'd love to title this message, "Passive in My Pain." Passive in my pain. Let's pray, then we'll take a seat. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray you speak to us. I pray your voice speaks to us. I pray you encourage us. And God, I pray you help us play hurt. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said? Amen. Amen. You guys can grab a seat and jump in. We're going to go into God's word, and I know it's going to speak to us. You know, being in ministry, I've been in ministry for almost 20 years. I started in youth ministry when I was 18 years old, and so I'm 37 now, so next February, will mark 20 years of ministry in different seats and different roles, obviously. But, you know, you see a lot of things in ministry. You interact with people on a regular basis. And, you know, sometimes you hear stories that break your heart. You hear stories of tragedy. You hear stories of pain that break your heart. And you see people who go through certain seasons leave the faith and run from God. And then on the other side of that, you see people go through similar type of stories of pain, and they actually run to God. It's kind of an interesting thing when you see people go through the same type of situation. Maybe it's loss, maybe it's pain, maybe it's betrayal, maybe it's the passing of a family member. You can see people go through similar stories, and one will run from God, and one will run to God. Isn't that kind of interesting that you can kind of see the same thing happen, but you have two different responses? Which kind of causes me to think that oftentimes it's not necessarily the pain that causes people to run from God as much as it's the perspective of that pain. How they see that pain, how they think about pain, how they view hurt and injury. And so I think there's times which we view pain in maybe a way that goes, okay, what have I done wrong? Did I do something to cause this? When I really think that pain is something that every human, every person has experienced at some point in their life. Can I get an amen on there? I've hurt. I've gone through things. And why is it that we can use pain to grow closer to God, or we can use pain as an excuse to run from God? We can blame God. We can tell God, why did you let this happen? We've jumped into this series, and I want to tackle this series called Playing Hurt. Because I believe this, that there is still a mission that there is still a purpose, that there's still destiny and reason, even when we're in pain. And a lot of times we want to pull ourselves out of the game of life, because we're hurting. But can I tell you that with God's help, that we can actually stay in, because life goes on, right? Like I still have to wake up every day. I still have to be a good husband, a good wife. I still have to be a good friend. I still have to be a good father or mother. And when I'm hurting, I don't really have the option to take myself out of the game. I have to stay in. So how do I stay in this game? How do I stay in life? How do I stay following Jesus? How do I stay committed to my church? How do I stay committed to my Heavenly Father while I'm still hurting? While I'm still hurting. While there's still pain in my life. Last week, we talked about this idea of, listen, if you're going to hurt, don't hurt alone. That's the first problem a lot of people go through is this, is that in their pain, they isolate themselves. And we talked about the power of community, and when you get around other people who can support you and encourage you, and that's the beauty of being on a team, is that when you're weak, the others can kind of surround you and help you and strengthen. And today I want to talk about this idea of don't remain passive in your pain. Don't view pain as something that is just happening to you, but look at pain as God trying to develop something in you. So many of us, we remain passive as, oh my goodness, what a terrible thing that's happening to me. But what if God was trying to use pain to do something in you? What if God was trying to develop something through you? Rather than something that's just arbitrary, accidental, random, how could this happen to me? What if actually God was sending you down a path called pain? Now we don't really like that, because that's difficult, that's hard. I don't know, I'd rather go down the path of blessing. I'd rather go down the path of provision. I'd rather go down the path of what's the destiny of my life. But how many of you guys know that sometimes God sends us down path called pain? And I wonder this, if this thought right here is this, that the perspective of my pain, how I see pain, determines whether I find purpose in it or I remain passive. How I see pain, what my view of that pain will be, will determine whether I find purpose in it or I remain passive. Now, how many of you guys have ever seen an athlete, and I really don't understand this, except for their extreme determination, dedication, and will? Sometimes you'll see an athlete experience an injury. Now, not an injury that removes them from the game, like a ligament tear, but they'll get a knock, they'll pick up a hurt, they'll pick up a pain, and even though they're physically diminished, it's almost like they use that pain to go even a little bit harder. Like, I'm now even more determined to stay in the game. Maybe you've seen an entrepreneur. They've experienced a failure when they first started to try to build their own business, and they didn't allow that failure to keep them from going again, but they almost used that failure, that painful moment, that hurt, as more determination to go again. Come on, how many of you guys have ever seen? And you're almost puzzled, because you go, well, everything telling me right now is that you should be diminished, but you're not. Like you're going back in it. You're going in for the fourth quarter and going to do everything you can to win the game. Maybe you guys don't remember this. It's kind of a small school. There was a school called Marshall, and there was a quarterback named Byron Leftwich. And so maybe people who watched football 15, 20 years ago would know that name. Byron Leftwich got hurt in the middle of the game, but he didn't want to come out. And every time that his offense was on the field and they would throw the ball 15 yards down the field, his offensive linemen would carry him to the next play. They would carry him, and he would get under center and say hut, and even though he couldn't walk, he would make a pass. They would go down the field. His offensive linemen would carry him to the next play. I mean, the dude couldn't even run, but he was still in the game. And it was this incredible game where he's hurt, but they're carrying him to the next play, and they actually overcome a deficit and win the game. Now, you would look at that and go, how in the world does that man play hurt? can I tell you that some of you are in a situation right now where you feel like spiritually, mentally, in your soul, emotionally, maybe even physically, you're feeling like, guys, God, I can't walk very well. But can I tell you that God still has purpose for you, and God is still wanting you to stay in the game. Don't quit. Don't back out. Stay in it. Because there's people around you, the Holy Spirit is strong enough, and I'm going to show you this morning that you can actually find purpose in pain. Come on, somebody say amen to that, right? But I think people being passive, that's a problem all the time. Like, a passive nature is something that not just in pain, but just in life. How many of you guys know if you get passive in your marriage will begin to fail? If I stop pursuing my wife and doing everything I can to make sure my wife stays in love with me by winning her heart, the minute I become passive is the minute I drift. How many of you guys ever been passive in your finances and then all of a sudden you find yourself going, man, where's all our money going? Like, how do we have that much in debt? You get passive in your money and suddenly your money gets funny, right? Come on, somebody, right? Like, how did that happen? How many of you guys ever done that? You stop paying attention to the budget, and then 3-6 months later, you've kind of stopped being active in it, and you go, we are spending way too much money going out to eat. Come on, does anybody ever have that problem? Like, we got to start going to the grocery store and taking our lunches to work. Anybody ever have that conversation, right? Like we've been going to Chipotle. Wait, it's interesting when you get passive. Maybe when you get passive in your calling. Like maybe God called you many years ago to do this specific thing, but it got difficult, it got confusing, you got busy, and you just got passive, and then you look at God and you go, God, why are you not using me? And God's going, well, you got passive. You got passive. You started playing the waiting game. When I started doing the calling game, you did the waiting game. You started to make excuses. You started to create situations where you felt like you were too. You see how being passive in any situation actually creates problems. And I think none more specific than in pain, because pain is very difficult to explain. And pain almost feels like, I think for most Americans, for most Western society, I think we view pain as more of an interruption. Like, we view pain as this giant interruption to the life that we want. We view pain as a massive inconvenience. Come on, I do it. We all do it. We ask, why is this happening to me? We view pain as the downed tree in life as we're trying to make our way to whatever we want to make our way to. But can I tell you, that is not the principle of a kingdom. That's not the principle of faith. You see, pain oftentimes is not the interruption. Oftentimes, pain is the main course. You're like, I'm not coming back to this church. I don't know if this is the church for me. And I think the problem with the Western church is that we've promised you that if you come to Jesus, God will take away all your pain. You'll never hurt again. Everything will be perfect and rosy and amazing. And if you have problems, well, there's something wrong with your faith. But Jesus actually never says that. Jesus says, I can promise you this. There will be many trials, many sorrows, many oppositions. There will be many difficulties. And Paul, even in this scripture, says this. Hey, I don't want you to be unaware. Because here's the deal. Of the afflictions that we're experiencing, Paul is using his testimony to warn the church, going, listen, don't be unaware. Don't be blindsided. Don't remain passive in your pain, because here's the deal. There's going to come afflictions. There's going to come difficulties. So let me just go ahead and take some weight off your shoulders for a minute. And your pain could be caused by self-inflicted wounds, by people who are close to you. You could be experiencing pain right now that you had no control over. Can I tell you this? If you are experiencing pain, you are not the problem. Like, you're not the problem. It's going to be okay. That oftentimes God's using that pain to pull you closer to Him. So He says, listen, don't be unaware. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 8 says, for we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the afflictions we have experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired life itself. So don't be unaware. Be expecting it. Like, be expecting that there will be a painful moment in my life at some point in the next 12 months, in the next 24 months. There will be something that causes a little bit of pain in my life, a little bit of affliction in my life. Come on, how many of you guys in the past 24 months, since this whole thing rolled out, had a little bit of pain in your life, a little bit of inconvenience, a little bit of turmoil, a little bit of fear, a little bit of anxiety? And come on, was there anything wrong with your faith? Now let me ask you another question. How many of you guys have gone through this COVID-19 and can say, I'm closer to God because of it? And I'm thankful because it caused me to get on my knees. It caused me to get in my word. It caused me to get closer to the people I love. It caused me to focus on the essential things. But here's the deal, and this is where I won't get any claps, and that's okay. There's a lot of people that because of COVID-19, they've drifted from God. They've used fear as an excuse to pull away from God. They found themselves having more free time but less time with God. And can you see how it really wasn't pain, but it was their view of pain? They were passive. And here's my thing. I think there's two real options when it comes to pain. I think a lot of us ask, what's the point, God? Why did you allow this into my life? How many of you guys have ever asked, God, why are you letting this happen? Internally, you've prayed that, God, why this? Why now? Why them? Why this deep? Why this much? And we begin to question God. Meaning this, that God, it feels like this pain doesn't have a point. Which means if it's pointless, then God, ultimately, you're not all-powerful and sovereign. Right? Because if there would be pain in your life that didn't have a point and it was randomized, then God wouldn't be all-powerful and he wouldn't be sovereign. Meaning, if God is not all-powerful and all-sovereign, then he's really not worthy of being worshipped. Right? So that's where people run from God. God, why did you let this happen in my life? I don't see a point to it. If there's no point, then you're really not all-powerful. If you're really not all-powerful, why am I worshiping you? If I don't have to worship you, then I can run from you. But do you see that once they've left God, they've still made no reason of their pain? They're still in the same boat. Except now their pain is even more pointless. Because now they do not worship or believe or acknowledge that there's an all-powerful God who architects the universe. So therefore, everything that happens in their life, good things and bad things, are completely random. And they begin to become what most philosophers call Stoics or Stoicism, where whatever happens just happens and I can't really explain it. If it's bad, it's bad. If it's good, it's good. There's no point in feeling emotion because it just happens. Do you see how this actually provides less meaning and less purpose and less reason than believing there is a God? So if I'm mad at God because he allowed something that I view doesn't have a point in my life, and that means that God letting things happen that doesn't have a point really isn't all-powerful, and if he's not all-powerful, I shouldn't worship him, and therefore, if I shouldn't worship him, there's really no meaning in the universe, and if there's no meaning in the universe, whatever has happened to me really serves no point, and it's just as random as it was when I began. The second option is this. I don't see the point, but if God is truly all-powerful and all-sovereign, and even if I don't see the point, God must know there is a point, and therefore I can trust a God even when I don't see the point. I can lean in and go, God, there's meaning behind this, there's purpose behind this, no matter how great the pain is, no matter how great the suffering is. And oftentimes we want to contain an ocean of meaning that is God in the thimble that is our brain. We want to take, and I'm not trying to be insulting because I have a thimble-sized brain too, right? Like, We want to take our thimble-sized brain and go, God, why? And God would go, why is the size of the Atlantic Ocean? You really want me to pour all of my purpose and meaning and all the architecture of the universe into your mind? Or do you want to drop the thimble that is our brain into the ocean and go, God, you contain it all. I'm trusting you. I'm leaning into you. I don't have to make sense of everything. The only thing I have to make sense of is that you're Lord, and I'm not going to be passive in my pain. I'm going to lean into my pain, and I'm going to ask you, what do you want to show me? What am I supposed to learn through this? How am I supposed to stop relying on my own wisdom, but on your strength? How am I going to not rely on my peace, but your peace? How am I going to not rely on, well, do I make sense of it and my own mental math? Or am I going to lean on and going, God, you are the architect. You make sense of it all. I'm not passive in my pain. I'm going to find purpose in my pain. Come on, somebody. You see, we all love to quote the verse. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. But the only way God can work it for good is if we go through some bad. Let me say that again. The only way for God to work it for good is if we go through some bad. Why would God need to work good for good? I'm so thankful God's working all my blessings for more blessings. I won the lottery. I went to Vegas, hit the slot machine. God, I went to Tinder and found a man, and he's so good looking. You're just working all the good for good. That didn't work that way. Come on, church. Romans 8:18, the verse before that says this, for I consider that the sufferings of the present time are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed to us. What's that say? For the sufferings of the present. Come on, anybody got some sufferings in your present, in your past, and in your future? Come on, can I get an amen for that one? The only reason Paul is able to write in verse 28 is because he wrote 18. Hey, there's going to be sufferings, but don't worry. He's working it together for the good. Now, here's what I know. Some of you have walked through some sufferings, and you didn't see the good until a decade later. You prayed some, you had some tears, you had some moments, and you go, why, God? And God's going, I have a purpose in it. I have a reason in it. So here's what I want to express to you. Here's what I'm preaching for the rest of this time together. Here's the deal. I can either use my pain or I can lose to my pain. You can either use your pain or you can lose to your pain. You see, passivity says, I'm hurting, I'm out. I'm hurting, I quit. I'm hurting, I'm done. I'm hurting, forget you, God. But active faith says this. A purpose faith says this, I'm hurting, why? I'm hurting, what are you trying to do? I'm hurting, what are you trying to teach me? I'm hurting. I'm leaning into this. I'm digging in deeper determination. It says again, indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But look at this. But that was to make us not rely on ourselves, but on the God who raises the dead. You see, pain can freeze us or pain can free us. Pain can freeze us or pain can free us. Let me say that again. Free us from trying to handle everything. Free us from thinking that we are capable of handling everything. Free us from thinking that we are strong enough. Free us from thinking that we are the smartest person in the universe. Free us from thinking that we are Solomon reincarnated, the most wise individual ever. How many of you guys know that pain can sometimes free you from the burden of thinking you can handle it all? Come on, how many men in the house... Sometimes when your wife is hurting, you try to fix it. Well, here's what I think you could do, and here's what I think you can add, and your wife goes, hold up, let me free you for a minute. I don't need you to fix anything. I just need you to listen. And all the husbands in the house go, what, why, what, like, why? let's figure this out. Come on. Like, okay, here's what we can do. And here's what we, and they're like, no, no, no. Let me free you. Sometimes God sends us down the road of pain to free us from the burden of trying to handle it all. He points us down the path. And how many of you guys know that a lesson taught is different than a lesson experienced? And sometimes God sends us down pain to get you to see, I'm not strong enough for this. I can't handle this. I can't do it all. He pushes you to literally pull away some of the pride and the arrogance. And that's why sometimes pain will either cause you to be arrogant or cause you to be humble. That's why people who've gone through pain look down the noses of people who don't. Well, you don't understand what I've gone through. You don't understand what I've been through. I look at that individual and I go, you're still relying on yourself. Because the person who's gone through pain with God suddenly becomes more humble. They become more compassionate. They hear people who've gone through pain and they go, yeah, I know what you're feeling. Let me pray with you. Let me be with you. Let me encourage you. You see how I can either use my pain or I can lose to my pain. Let me ask you a question, really simple. How many of you guys, you pray harder when you're in pain? How many of you look for answers in Scripture a little more intensely when you go through pain? How many of you guys know you worship a little bit more intensely when you're in pain? You go, I don't understand it, but I'm going to sing. I'm going to do the ugly cry in the car, whatever I got to do. Like, I got to figure this out. Let me ask you this. Is your testimony stronger when you've come through pain? Come on, is your story stronger when you've come through pain? You see how pain can either freeze us to go, well, like, okay, this is something that just happened to me, so I'm just going to wait it out. But what we talked about last week, if you wait till it doesn't hurt, you could be waiting forever. Because the only thing that God promised you is this, is that when you get to heaven, there'll be no pain and suffering. When you get to heaven, when you're reunited with me, but not on earth, there's going to be pain. There's going to be difficulty. Listen, I expect at least 50 Instagram posts from this pain message because you guys are so encouraged. You guys are like, I'm ready to take on the world. I'm ready to go. But here's the deal. I believe that a church prepared and conditioned for pain, when they step into battle, they know it's going to hurt, but I know who's behind me. It's going to be difficult, but I know who's within me. And you know what? When I'm inconvenienced, when I'm going through difficulty, when I'm going through a storm, I'm not the church that's going to scatter. I'm the church that's going to form up, and we're going to link together, and we're going to be able to go, this is a war we are in, and war is not meant to be a massage. Is that okay? Is that enough? Okay, no, too hard, too heavy. The Holy Spirit is not your soul masseuse. He's your strength. He's your comforter. See, pain used correctly, I want to say this, I want you to pray over this. Pain used correctly has a way of eliminating the extra and getting you to see the essential. Come on, y'all ever play this? If you had a week to live, what would you do? If you had 24 hours to live, what would you do? Y'all ever play that game with people? Where would you go? What would you do? Every time I ask somebody that, you know what they never say? Is they never say they'd get vengeance on somebody. They always go to, I'd be with my family. I'd be with my wife. I'd go to the place I've always wanted to go. It always seems that whenever pain comes in or the prospect of loss comes in, they eliminate all the extra things. And they go down to what's essential. See, God can pull you through pain sometimes to go, hey, you got a little too much extra credit in your life. Get down to the essential. Get down to the things that mean the most. Not only that, if I look at Scripture here, it says, indeed, we felt that we had received the sense of death. Can I tell you that oftentimes pain feels like it promises the worst? But God, let me say this right here. But God proves he has overcome the worst. So pain has a way of telling you your life's over. But God goes, no, 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 I've already proven that whatever pain promises, I've actually beat it. So if pain proves you're going to die because of this, hey, I've already conquered death. if pain proves you're going to be a problem for the rest of your life, I've already overcome every problem. If pain promises you that you're going to be with this affliction forever, I've already proven that I can overcome every affliction, every trial, and every problem on earth. You see, pain has a way of freezing you, causing you to become passive, but God says, no, I've overcome everything. That's what he says here. But that was to make us not rely on ourselves. But look at this. But on God who raises the dead. That's a little bitty framing sentence to where basically Paul says this. Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, they've overcome literally the worst thing that the enemy can throw at you. Just a little sentence. Y'all don't remember God who raises people from the dead? Yeah, that God, the God that you serve, yeah, he can do all that. Verse 10 says this. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope, and he will deliver us again. Now, I'm thinking of a way of explaining this, and I thought about it this week when I got in the car after my wife had driven the car. How many of y'all, you let somebody else drive your car, and they get in their car, and they set all the mirrors and the air conditioning vents and the seat all to their liking? And then you get back in the car, and it feels like your knees are in your chin. And it feels like the rear view mirror is not pointed at the rear view, it's pointed at their face because they're doing their makeup. And your radio is changed. And the rear view mirrors aren't there either. And come on, how many of you guys know it's hot in Texas? So look, those AC units, you want them blowing right on your face. Right? And so you have to follow it with your hand to make sure it's on. Come on, how many of y'all do that? Come on, you set it and you follow it with your hand. Okay, good, it's on my face, right? And you have to get in, and before you can take off, you have to reset your whole car. And you have to you got to say a little something to your wife because you're like, you're literally driving 3 minutes down the road. You have to rearrange my whole car. But it's interesting because now newer cars, they're a little nicer. They have two different key fobs. And you can have the husband fob and the wife fob. And the car will recognize whatever person, and it will readjust the seating to whoever's car is being used. Now, some of y'all need an upgrade because you don't have that, right? Okay? You don't have that yet. You got the old school fob, which is your finger. You know. Some of you, the only AC control is the manual roll down your window. The AC on, the AC off, right? And so before you take off, you want to rearrange your car to set it the way you want it. Here's the deal. Pain has got up all in your driver's seat and rearranged all your chairs, all your mirrors, all your AC vents, and then when you get into the car of your life, because pain has rearranged everything, you've not taken the time to set it according to God's word. So you're driving down the road of life because pain has messed up all your stuff, and your mirrors, and your seats, and your AC units are all messed up, and you're going, why? And God says, you have the option to set that. Listen, I've given you the key fob to your heart. And if you will just get in and you will begin to use God's word, can I tell you that everything in your life will be rearranged. Come on, somebody. Some of y'all, pain has so messed you up, you're driving through life like this. And you're going, why, God? And God's going, you didn't set your heart. Come on, my heart, my control. Listen, I may not control circumstances, and I may not control betrayals, and I may not control death and disease, but what I do control is my heart. And I wonder if we need to get as practical as before we leave for work, we do a mirror check and we do a heart check. We do an AC check and we do a spirit check. And we begin to confess God's word and going, God, it's my heart, it's my control, I'm setting it according to your word. You see, it's in pain that we learn to set our own heart. It's in pain, it's in difficulty that we learn to go, this is the way I will live my life. This is the way I will believe. This is the way I will think. Some of us, we allow pain to literally take over our brain. That's actually a good rhyming line. I set the direction of my heart, not my pain. Psalms 119 says this, I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end. I incline. Meaning that if I have to incline it, at some point it was declined. Well, y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all try to roll gangster with your seat way laid way back. You can't even see over the steering wheel, but you look hard. Some of you try to go through life with your seat laid way back. No, no, no. I incline, meaning I have control, meaning I'm setting my heart. Let's go to verse 11 as we close. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 11 says this, you also must help us in prayer that we will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. Can I tell you, church, sometimes you have to go through the gore to get to the glory. You have to go through the gory to get to the glory. Meaning this, that Jesus had to go through pain and suffering in order to experience the glory of victory. Jesus had to go to death, hell, and the grave to basically go, hey, I'm setting my people free. Meaning, I mean, he had to go through gory in order to get to glory. Can I tell you that God sometimes sends us through gory places, difficult, painful places? But here's the great thing. He doesn't do it for your glory. He does it for his glory. We are not the center of the universe. He is. And here, Paul says, many thanks. Thanks to who? Thanks to Paul? Is he saying, you may also help us prepare so that many will give thanks? Are they going to give thanks to themselves? Hey, we prayed for Paul and Paul made it through. We're such good prayer warriors. Paul's saying thanks. Thanks to who? Thanks to him. Thanks to God who never leaves us, never abandons us in pain. He's always with us in pain. And even pointed us down the path of pain, but knowing I would never be where I am at in my faith, in my family, unless I had gone down that road of pain. You see, when pain comes in and it brings passivity, and we pull out of the game, and we wait, hoping it goes away, we don't learn the lessons. We don't develop endurance. We don't develop perseverance. We don't gain the wisdom of God who speaks to us and tells us why and shows us. We don't begin to rely on other believers, where community and a bond is built between fellow brothers and sisters of faith. And it's interesting to me that literally the greatest Christian outside of Jesus is actually asking for prayer. And so many of us are too arrogant to ask for prayer. We're too afraid that we'll look weak. We're too afraid that, well, I don't know that I want to tell somebody that. And listen, I get it. You don't need to blast your pain on Facebook. You don't need to cast those things to everybody. But Paul says, you also must help us by prayer. How many of you guys right now could use somebody praying for you? Man, I could really use somebody praying for me right now. The only thing is, the hard part is I'd have to tell somebody about what to pray about. So we do the old school Christian thing. I have an unspoken. You ever been there? Anybody got any prayer requests? Yeah, I've got an unspoken. What is an unspoken? How do I pray? God, we just lift up this unspoken. Wait, sorry. God, we lift up the... Because I can't speak about it, God. You see the beauty of coming together? It's the beauty of relationships. It's the beauty of community. That's the power of the local church. Here's the deal. The local church will never go fully online. It never will. Because you live in an age with more content on your phone than any other theologian in all of history. But do you know better Jesus better because of it? Or do you know Jesus better because there was somebody in your life who prayed for you, who invited you, who helped you, who challenged you, who got in your face when you were getting funky? You see, it's a screen. A screen will never lead us to Jesus. It's always a person. It's always another person. Paul says this, you must help us through prayer so that we will give many thanks on our behalf for the blessings granted us through the prayers of many. I want to close with this. The reason we cannot remain passive in our pain is verse 10. He says this, he delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will. Come on. He has, and he will. Y'all can start preaching with me on this. He has, and he will. He has, and he will. Come on. He has led us through that divorce, and he will. He has led me through that pain, and he will. He has led me through that loss, and he will. He has led me through joblessness, and he will. He has led me through depression, and he will. He has led me through anxiety, and he will. And that is the power of your testimony, is because you are a walking billboard of the promises of God. Do not remain passive in your pain. Lean into it. Stay playing hurt. Because God is trying to show you something through it. Let's pray. If you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, can I tell you that that's the first thing you must do in your pain? Is you must make a decision and surrender your heart to Jesus and confess Jesus, Lord of your life. You must ask God to forgive you of your sins. And basically, a sin is trying to do it your own way, thinking you know best. And if you're here this morning and you're in pain and you have never made the decision to follow Jesus and bend the knee before your King, today I want to lead you in a simple prayer. Simple but profound. And I want you to pray this with me. Church family, say it together. Let's pray with our brothers and sisters who I believe today, online and in the room, are making that decision of faith. And we're going to pray this. Say, Jesus, today I surrender my life to you. I confess you, King. I invite you into my heart. Forgive me of my sins and help me to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God, I pray over every person who's going through pain, God, going through suffering, going through difficulty. And God, I pray if they're being passive, Father, I pray that today you speak to their hearts. You help them lean in, Father, to begin to know a strength that's beyond their strength, to begin to know a wisdom that is beyond their wisdom. And Father, I pray that they use their pain to grow closer to you. They don't lose to their pain. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said amen.